God would come in human flesh and travel through, you know, time and space and enter into human history and live this perfect life and then die this death that he did not deserve as this incredible act of love for humanity, for anyone who would come to him. And we live in a world that's really desperate to know that kind of love. We live in a world that needs the message of who God is and how loving he is and what he has done for us. And in John 3:16, the verse that even if you haven't been in church for years and years and years, if you were in church as a child, you probably know this verse, John 3:16, "For God so loved the world that he gave his only Son, that whoever believes in him should not perish, but have eternal life." And if you're like me, you learn the King James Version, and so it was his only begotten Son, that whosoever believeth in him. But anyway, that verse is the message of the gospel encapsulated. It's put, the reason why we all learned that when we were kids is because it is the Christian message in a capsule form. There's this incredible love of God, and that love was put into this gift of his perfect Son, so that whoever believes in him should not perish, but have eternal life. That there's this life that we can have through this relationship with God through Jesus Christ. And our church is, that word life is very important to us as a church, right? Our name is Life Roads. It's this idea of life that is desperately needed, that the world needs. The world needs this life that only comes from God. So today we celebrate the love of God. We celebrate this incredible gift of God on this Easter Sunday. And for our time together this morning, we're going to be in a passage of Scripture, John 11, the story of Lazarus. And when the resurrection of Lazarus, spoiler alert, if you didn't know how that story turned out, he gets raised from the dead. But John chapter 11, and we're going to jump in verse 17. I'm going to give you some background information, and then we're going to start reading in John 11, 17, and we will see what we have here, because this story forms a very important precursor, like the prequel to the resurrection story of Jesus, that before Jesus was resurrected, there's this incredible miracle. All these things lead up to this point where this is the miracle of miracles, all these signs pointing towards who Jesus is during his ministry. And then this resurrection miracle happens of Lazarus being raised from the dead. Lazarus dead and gone, dead in his grave for a number of days, and we'll read that part of the story when we get to it. But Jesus raises him up, and this place is strategically located near Jerusalem, Bethany, the town where this miracle takes place. And so undoubtedly, because of the season, because of the time of the year it was, there were pilgrims traveling through this town, Bethany, on their way to Jerusalem for Passover. And the word of what happened spread like wildfire to the point where Jesus, when he entered Jerusalem, there was all of these people with the palm branches, right? Palm Sunday, and shouting Hosanna and welcoming, giving Jesus this royal welcome into the city. And the religious leader says, "We have to do something about this. This is getting out of control. Like, the word is getting out about this incredible miracle that Jesus performed, and we have to do something to try to get this under control, or we're going to lose our power. Rome is going to come in with their giant army and wipe us out. We've got to do something." And all those events set into motion the death of Jesus on the cross. Lazarus is kind of this pinnacle story of they had no choice at this point after this miracle because the word was out about what Jesus did. So we're going to start reading in John chapter 11, verse 17, and the verses that we're skipping over, verses 1 through 16, are the message that has gotten to Jesus, that, hey, the person, he had this relationship with Lazarus and Lazarus's sisters, that they had this closeness with Jesus. And so the message was, hey, Jesus, the your friend who you love is dying. Like, please come and save his life. No one ever died around Jesus, right? Jesus was able to heal people. Jesus was able to raise people from the dead. And so our brother is very, very sick. If we are to do anything, we have to go get Jesus, right? And so they send word for Jesus. Jesus has a conversation about his disciples about what they're about to do. And then we'll pick up the story in verse 17 of John 11. "Now when Jesus came, he found that Lazarus had already been dead in the tomb 4 days. Bethany was near Jerusalem, about 2 miles off, and many of the Jews had come to Martha and Mary to console them concerning their brother. So when Martha heard that Jesus was coming, she went and met him, but Mary remained seated in the house. Martha said to Jesus, 'Lord, if you had been here, my brother would not have died. But even now I know that whatever you ask from God, God will give you.' Jesus said to her, 'Your brother will rise again.' Martha said to him, 'I know that he will rise again in the resurrection on the last day.' Jesus said to her, 'I am the resurrection and the life. Whoever believes in me, though he die, yet shall he live. And everyone who lives and believes in me shall never die. Do you believe this?" She said to him, "Yes, Lord, I believe that you are the Christ, the Son of God, who is coming into the world." When she had said this, she went and called her sister Mary, saying in private, "The teacher is here and is calling for you." And when she heard it, she rose quickly and went to him. Now Jesus had not yet come into the village, but was still in the place where Martha had met him. When the Jews who were with her in the house consoling her saw Mary rise quickly and go out, they followed her, supposing that she was going to the tomb to weep there. Now when Mary came to where Jesus was and saw him, she fell at his feet, saying to him, "Lord, if you had been here, my brother would not have died." When Jesus saw her weeping and the Jews who had come with her also weeping, he was deeply moved in his spirit and greatly troubled. And he said, "Where have you laid him?" They said to him, "Lord, come and see." Jesus wept. So the Jews said, "See how he loved him." But some of them said, "Could not he who opened the eyes of the blind man also have kept this man from dying?" Then Jesus, deeply moved again, came to the tomb. It was a cave, and a stone lay against it. And Jesus said, "Take away the stone." Martha, the sister of the dead man, said to him, "Lord, by this time there will be an odor, for he has been dead 4 days." A little side note, this is not like a funny story. This is a very moving story and everything. But I mentioned that I memorized the King James version of the John 3:16 when I grew up. In the King James, it's like, there's a very funny phrase in this passage where it says, there's going to be an odor because he's been dead for 4 days. In the King James, it says, "He stinketh." And I know that was not meant to be funny, and like the translators, that didn't sound funny when they translated that in 1611. But to like a little boy in the 80s, you know, trying to pay attention to church, when someone says "he stinketh" from the stage, it's like it's pretty funny. So, at any rate, get back on track. Here we go. "Lord, by this time there will be an odor, for he has been dead 4 days." Jesus said to her, "Did I not tell you that if you believed, you would see the glory of God?" So they took away the stone, and Jesus lifted up his eyes and said, "Father, I thank you that you have heard me. I knew that you always hear me, but I said this on account of the people standing around, that they may believe that you sent me." When he had said these things, he cried out with a loud voice, "Lazarus, come out." The man who had died came out, his hands and feet bound with linen strips and his face wrapped with a cloth. And Jesus said to them, "Unbind him and let him go." This story is an incredible story. Martin Luther, reflecting on this passage, said if he wouldn't have mentioned him by name, Lazarus, come out, that if he just said, "come out," like who knows how many dead people would have been risen from the dead with the incredible power of Jesus in that moment. But this story has so much to teach us. I mean, there's so many things that we see on display in this story. We see the power of Jesus. I mean, this incredible power of Jesus. We see his approach and his personality and just the way he dealt with Martha, the conversation he had with her and the gentleness that he had with her. And then the way he approached the tomb and just this emotion that he had. Where if you were making this story up, if you were kind of making up a story about a Messiah figure who came in and did this miraculous resurrection from the dead, would you tell it where he got emotional? And would he just be like, if you were telling the story, I think it would be something like he comes in all triumphant. He's kind of joking around. Everyone's sad. He's like, "Don't be sad. Everything's going to be fine." And then he just raises him from the dead with a word. Or maybe he comes in very regal. But we see Jesus, he has this conversation with Martha that we're going to look more closely at in a few moments. And this conversation is one approach. But then he comes over to Mary with a totally different approach and is talking with her. And he's brokenhearted when he sees the way that death has impacted the people that he loves. And he's the shortest verse in the Bible, those two words, Jesus wept, right? He experienced emotion knowing what he is going to do. The conversation that we skipped over with the disciples was him saying that he knew how the whole thing was going to work out, that this was all happening so that it would build their faith and that they would believe in him even more than they already did. He knew where this was going, right? The prayer he had with the Father was like, "God, you've already heard me. You know how this is going to go, but I'm praying here in such a way that everyone will hear and they will believe even more." And so then Jesus raises Lazarus from the dead, and we see so much in this story that we could look at, but I want to focus on this phrase, this conversation that Jesus had with Martha. And that the conversation is in verses 25 and 26, and we'll spend the remainder of our time this morning looking at these two verses together, because he says some pretty amazing things. Jesus said to her, Martha, in verse 25, "I am the resurrection and the life. Whoever believes in me, though he die, yet shall he live. And everyone who lives and believes in me shall never die. Do you believe this? So there's really four things that he's saying. There's a question that he's asking, but we're going to look at this in kind of four parts. First is this phrase, I am the resurrection and the life. Now, what Jesus could have said in this story is he could have said, I am going to be resurrected. Or he could say, I am going to resurrect him. Right? But what he does instead is he says, I am the resurrection and the life. And what we have is one of these great I am statements. In the Gospel of John, you can study these I am statements. We did a sermon series going through these probably 2 years ago. These I am, where he says, I am something. You know, I am the bread of life. I am, here he says, I am the resurrection and the life. See, for Martha, she had this kind of idea in her head. There was this debate between some of the leaders in the in Israel at the time. Some people believed there really wasn't anything like an afterlife, and other people believed, yeah, there is something called the resurrection, that there is a life after this one. And Martha held to that second belief, that it's not over when this life is over, that there's a life to come. There is another life, and there's something called the resurrection where God will restore and bring life back and will take the dead and raise them up, and there is a life to come after this one. And Martha had this idea, this concept that, yeah, my brother is going to live again. You're right, Jesus. He says your brother will rise again. And she goes, yeah, in the resurrection. I get what you're saying. That's right. There's going to come this time. Thank you. Almost like Jesus was just saying one of those things you say to people who've just lost someone, who've gone through a tragedy. There's all these kinds of things that we say, better place, all this stuff. Like, she thought that was what Jesus was doing there. Yeah, I get it. He's going to rise again. Thank you, Jesus. You're right. But Jesus says to her, no, I am the resurrection and the life. She had this idea in her head that maybe brought her a little bit of hope, but it was an abstract kind of idea. And Jesus says, no, that's me. The idea you have, I am that. I am the one who brings hope. And he's pointing to this fact that this resurrection life that Jesus brings, that he is going to experience on Resurrection Day, the day that we're celebrating today, that he will be resurrected. But that power is not just limited to his own resurrection. It gives life to everything that it impacts, everything that it touches. Jesus gives life. So the next phrase we look at is that he says, whoever believes in me, though he die, yet shall he live. And he's referring to what Martha thought he was talking about, which is that death is defeated in the sense that it is the enemy for us. That those of us who are followers of Christ, that we believe that Jesus has conquered death. He conquered death at the resurrection. He conquered death here with the Lazarus story. But death is no longer the enemy, right? It's no longer like the number one fear of followers of Christ. And he says, for that to be true, belief is the key that opens the door. He says, whoever believes in me, though he die, yet shall he live. That when this life is over, that's not the end, that there is a life to come. And then he goes on to say that everyone who lives and believes in me shall never die. And here he's referring to something different. Like, is he repeating himself here? Why is he? He just said something very similar to that. It seems like he's repeating himself, but in here he's talking about something different. He's talking about this life that he gives, that Jesus came to bring. The first part, whoever believes in me, though he die, yet shall he live. That's the resurrection. Jesus is the resurrection. But he is also the life. And I think Jesus' way of explaining that to them was, everyone who lives and believes in me shall never die. That Jesus is there to bring life and to give life to people, and it's a life that never ends. It's a life that begins in this life and continues through eternity. It's what the Bible refers to, and it's the word Jesus is using here in the Greek, is this word zoe. It's this word that we talk about sometimes here at Life Roads, that there's this vital, eternal life that comes from Jesus, that when Jesus said in John 10:10, he says, I have come that you might have life and have it to the full. That's what he's talking about. That it is this eternal life that begins today but continues through eternity, that never stops. It says, everyone who lives and believes in me shall never die. You will never lose the life that he came to bring. So Jesus, in this miracle and in his own life, he releases this resurrection power and this resurrection life that gives life to everything that it touches. And we all have biological life. We're all living and, you know, breathing. Our hearts are beating. That is biological life, and that is a gift from God. That's a good thing. We're thankful for that. But this other kind of life that Jesus came to bring, this Zoe life, is on a different scale. It's on a different level. And the more we live in that life, the more we experience that and live it out, boy, the greater the joy and the greater the good we can do and the greater impact we can have in our lives and in our world. C.S. Lewis, reflecting on this idea, he said the way he compared it was like someone that goes from just having biological life to having biological life plus this Zoe life that Jesus said he came to bring. It's like the difference between a statue, you know, in the shop of someone who makes statues. I don't know, statue maker shop or whatever, sculptor, that's it. A statue in a sculptor's shop, right? And it's just there, and it has the form. It looks like a person, but it's not a person, it's a statue. He says it's like one of those statues coming to life. He said that's the difference between the, like, just having biological life and then having the life that Jesus said he came to bring. He unleashes his resurrection power in our lives, and he gives us this incredible life that it's only possible to have through a relationship with him. In Ephesians 1, verses 19 to 20, there's this incredible incredible verse. It's in the middle of this. Paul is praying. He's saying, this is my prayer for you, church at Ephesus. He says, I want you guys to know these things to be true. I want you to experience these truths. And he's praying for them, and he's kind of teaching while he's praying. And he says this in Ephesians 1, 19 to 20. He says, I want you to know, kind of we're jumping in on the idea here a little bit, kind of in the middle of a sentence. But he says, I want you to know, and what is the immeasurable greatness of his power toward us who believe, according to the working of his great might that he worked in Christ when he raised him from the dead and seated him at his right hand in the heavenly places. He's like, I want you to know that power in your own life. I want you to realize that greatness of the power that raised Christ from the dead, this resurrection power that was at work in Christ when he was risen from the dead and when he raised Lazarus from the dead, this resurrection power, he says, that's the same power at work in you. In your own life. I want you to understand just a glimpse of that. If we can understand that same power that was unleashed into the world in the resurrection of God, of Christ, and in Christ's ministry, that same power is at work in us, and it's available to us, toward us who believe. It's there to change our lives. It's there to help us to not struggle with the sins that we struggle with. It's there to help us have an impact on the people that we love and care about that need that love and need that life that Christ offers. And then Jesus says, to kind of close out this idea, he goes, I am the resurrection and life. Whoever believes in me, though he die, yet shall he live. Everyone who lives and believes in me shall never die. And then he looks at Martha and says, do you believe this? Do you believe this? And so many people are on a search, a desperate search for meaning. They're on a search for something. And Jesus says, I am what you're searching for. He says, I am the resurrection and the life. Do you believe that? And I want to talk about three ways that we can be like Martha in this story. And I think Martha, Martha gets a bad rap sometimes, but I think she's there to provide some kind of teachable moments for us and to understand some things about what it means to follow Jesus and really understanding Jesus' purpose and his mission. And there's three things that I want us to think about a little bit with this story when it comes to Martha, and three ways that we could be like Martha in a negative sense, in ways that, you know, we can learn from her experience. Now, the first way is that this says Jesus' power, just trust me. And this is a box, right? It's a box, and there's Jesus' power, what he can do. And then for Martha, when she was thinking about what Jesus was capable of doing, all the things that Jesus is capable of doing go inside the box. The Jewish culture at the time, they believed that you had about 3 days. Like if God was going to do a miracle, someone passed away, that maybe their spirit kind of lingered by the body for about 3 days. But then after that third day was over, it was done. The person was not coming back. There was no miracle that was going to happen. Lazarus, by the time Jesus even got the message, if you do the math on what, you know, the messenger getting to Jesus and how many days it took to travel to Bethany, that probably by the time the messenger got to Jesus, Lazarus had already passed away. And Lazarus, by the time that Jesus makes it there, he's been in the tomb, he's been dead for 4 days. And so for Martha, she thought, well, there's certain things Jesus is capable of doing. Like there's certain things that are within his realm of ability that, and those are the things that fit inside that box. But no one can defeat death. No one can do anything. Once those 4 days have passed, you know, maybe if Jesus would have gotten here sooner, we've heard stories of him raising someone who had just departed, you know, just passed away from the dead. But after 4 days, I mean, even Jesus can't do that. And she begins to see in this story, I mean, she's expressing belief but kind of wavering, and that's another lesson we'll learn from her in a moment. But that what fits in that box? What is Jesus capable of? What can Jesus do? And I think we do this sometimes on a smaller scale, perhaps, where we think there's Jesus' power in our lives. There's things that God is doing in our life, and there's things that are outside that. You know, maybe it's a particular sin that you're struggling with that you just felt unsuccessful with, and you have struggled over and over again, and you keep failing, and you think, kind of feel like, maybe you would never say this, but you feel like maybe that's outside God's realm of what Jesus can handle, of what Jesus' power at work in you can do. So maybe you think that something is out of Jesus' realm of control and what he can do. But Jesus shows Martha here that he can handle that. He can handle whatever comes his way, and he is powerful beyond all boxes that we tend to put him in, that Jesus can handle it. Now, that's one lesson we can learn. Another lesson is that, boy, we can see sometimes Martha in this story, sometimes she has really strong faith. Boy, sometimes like her faith is strong. And going back and forth, even in this story here, she says, I know, like in verse 22, even now I know that whatever you ask from God, God will give you. Like if you would have been here, God, he wouldn't have died. That's an expression of faith, that you have that kind of power. And if you would have been here, he wouldn't have died. But even now I know you can do something. But then she kind of goes back and forth and he says, your brother will rise again. And she goes, yeah, I know he'll rise again in the resurrection on the last day. So she's going back and forth. In her faith. And then they go to the stone and they want to roll the stone away so that Jesus can perform this miracle. And she's like, no, Jesus, it's not. It's too late for that. He's decomposing. I mean, it's this sad situation and no one wants to experience that, especially the loved ones that have just gone through this horrible situation. Her faith is going back and forth. Listen, the more you believe in Jesus, the stronger this life is. In you, the life that Jesus came to bring, the power that he gives, the more you believe, the more you trust in him, the stronger, like the depth and the consistency of this life at work in you, that belief is the key. Belief is the principle that we need to understand, that the more we believe in Jesus, the more that power is at work in us and the more that we can see God's resurrection power at work in our own lives. God the Son, Jesus didn't stop the miracle just because Martha's faith wasn't strong enough when she was wavering. Like, what do you believe or not? You know, he didn't correct her. He was sensitive to what she was going through, but he still worked on her behalf. And I think Jesus does that with us too, that whatever faith we can offer up to him, that we can trust in him. And he works with it, right? And he wants to grow that in us. I think one of another lesson that we can learn, a third lesson we can learn from Martha's life is Martha had this idea in her head. She had an idea of something that brought her some hope. And Jesus is saying, listen, what you're trying to describe, when you say the resurrection, like he's going to rise again in the resurrection on the last day, Jesus said to her, I am the resurrection and the life. Whoever believes in me, though he die, yet shall he live. That Jesus Christ himself came to bring that resurrection life. And he's not just an idea. So many people we think Christianity and the Christian life is a collection of ideas. It's just stuff we think about. It's ideas we hold in our head. Jesus is a person who is there that we walk with, that we have a relationship with. He is a personal God that's there for us. And that's what the Christian faith is about. It's about believing in a person called Jesus, the resurrection and the life. That resurrection power is at work in the world. And we could share stories even in this room of the way that resurrection power has resurrected you. When we talk about, we say, he is risen, we say, he is risen indeed. But I think about my own life, and I think about your lives, the people in this room, and that we could say, He is risen, He is risen, she is risen, she is risen. All around the room, how that God had released this resurrection power through the ministry of Jesus, and every person He touches is resurrected in their own way. We pass from death into life. You know, and God took me, who is this weird combination of kind of religious and also very rebellious, you know, 20-year-old, and just transformed me in a dramatic way and took me from, you know, really wandering far away from Him to having a relationship with Him, to getting to now I get to teach you on a Sunday morning on Easter, you know, in 2016. God transformed my life with His resurrection power. He does the same every day. He'll do it for you if you've never experienced that for yourself. But the more we believe, listen, the more that power is at work in our lives, and the more we get to experience of that incredible joy and the life and the love of Christ that He came to bring. So would you pray with me? Lord, we thank You for this incredible, incredible gift. Lord, we thank You for the resurrection and what we get to celebrate today. We are a grateful people. And Lord, I pray that You would guide us into this truth, guide us into this faith. May we know this faith firsthand, first of all. Lord, I pray for everyone in this room to know You, to have a relationship with You, to walk with You. And as we do that, Lord, may we grow in that life. May that resurrection power be unleashed even more in our lives. And may we know You even more. May we follow You even more closely. Lord, the things that we believe are outside of Your realm of control, that there's things You can do and things You can't do, Lord, may You drive that lesson home, that You are powerful, You are all-powerful, and we can trust You. You can handle whatever we bring to You. And Lord, I pray that we would know also that this is not just about a collection of ideas, but it is about a person named Jesus Christ, Your Son, Lord, and the resurrection and the incredible gift of life that we have through Him. With your heads bowed and your eyes closed for a moment longer, I want to invite any of you who have not put your faith in Christ to do that today. I want to encourage you to put your faith and trust in Christ. And I want to go through a prayer, and I'm gonna pray this prayer phrase by phrase. And if you would like to put your trust in Christ, I want to encourage you to pray this prayer after me phrase by phrase. You can do it just silently where you're at. You can do it at a whisper. You can do it out loud, whatever you'd like to do. But the gospel tells us that we are fallen. We are far from God's standard of perfection, but Jesus came to bring us life. The wages of sin is death, but the gift of God is eternal life in Christ Jesus, our Lord. That we accept that incredible gift by putting our faith. You know, when Jesus said to Martha, "Do you believe this? Do you believe in me?" We say, "Yes, I believe in you." So if that's a decision you'd like to make today, I want to invite you to pray this prayer. I'm going to just say a phrase and kind of leave a pause there. And if you want to just silently where you're at or even out loud, pray this prayer along with me. I want to invite you to put your faith in Christ and begin a relationship with Him right now. Jesus, I know that I am a sinner. I know that my sin deserves to be punished. I believe You took my place. You died on the cross. You rose from the grave. Thank You for paying my debt, for bearing my punishment, for offering forgiveness. I turn from my sins and I receive You as Savior. Amen. With your heads bowed and your eyes closed for just a moment longer, anyone out there say, "Yeah, today I made that decision. I trust Christ with my life today. I want to begin following Him." If you just raise your hand, no one's looking around, but I would just like to acknowledge you and say congratulations. Anybody out there that say, "Yeah, that's me." Okay. Lord, we thank You for Your incredible gift, Lord, the resurrection of Jesus and what we're celebrating today and the life that that brings for any who come to Christ. Lord, I pray that in the days and the weeks and the months ahead, Lord, You would just send people that will be hearing Your message here and make decisions to trust You in this building, Lord. And that in the years to come, we would just celebrate new life in people that we love, Lord, loved ones that need to hear this, Lord, that need to be here today. I pray that You would inspire us and give us opportunities to invite people. And Lord, we thank You for this incredible place to meet in, and I pray that it would be full of stories of lives being transformed in the years to come. We thank You. We love You. It's in Jesus' name we pray. Amen.